ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 2, text 69. Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutanam Tasyam Jargarti Sanyami Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sa Nisha Pashyatah Muneh Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Sanyami Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sa Nisha Pashyato Muneh Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Sanyami Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sa Nisha Pashyato Muneh Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Sanyami Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sa Nisha Pashyato Muneh Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Sanyami Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sa Nisha Pashyato Muneh Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutanam Tasyam Jagrati Sanyami Tasyam Jagrati Bhutani Sa Nisha Pashyato Muneh Ya What? This is what, not in the sense of a question. It's in the sense of indication. Nisha is night. Sarva, all. Bhutanam, of living entities. Tasyam, in that. Jagrati is wakeful. Sanyami, the self-controlled. Yasyam, in which. Jagrati are awake. Bhutani, all beings. Sa, that is. Nisha, night. Pashyataha,
for the introspective.
Munehe, sage. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. Srila Prabhupada's purport, there are two classes of intelligent men. One is intelligent in material activities for sense gratification, and the other is introspective and awake to the cultivation of self-realization. Activities of the introspective sage or thoughtful man are night for persons materially absorbed. Materialistic persons remain asleep in such a night due to their ignorance of self-realization. The introspective sage remains alert in the night of the materialistic man. The sage feels transcendental pleasure in the gradual advancement of spiritual culture, whereas the man in materialistic activities, being asleep to self-realization, dreams of varieties of sense pleasure, feeling sometimes happy and sometimes distressed in his sleeping condition. The introspective man is always indifferent to materialistic happiness and distress. He goes on with his self-realization activities undisturbed by material reactions. Ya nisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati sanyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sa nisha pashyato munehe. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shachiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupuring Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitascha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is an allegory, or a metaphorical statement. What is the night for all beings is the time of awakening. For the sanyami, one who is sense controlled, or one who at least attempts to control his senses, and the opposite. So it's metaphorical language. Can be also literal, in as much as some materialistic people, they actually prefer to stay awake at night and sleep in the day. But here, night refers to ignorance. And the waking means awaken, utishta, jagrata, prapya varang nibodhata.
the Upanishads, they tell us to get up, wake up, become aware of the boon that is available in human life. So people who are not interested in that, they really don't want to know. Nate vidu swartha gatin hi vishnum. They don't know that the real goal of life is Vishnu. Therefore, they have a different outlook altogether. Durashaya ye bahirata marnina. Instead of desiring to attain Vishnu, they pursue unattainable hopes. Or even if their hope is, even if they get what they want, it doesn't satisfy them. Therefore, it's called durasha. Their hopes are in that which is external. That which is external to them, they take as being valuable. Durasha. Durasha. Bahirata manina. What's the next line? Andha yatandhaya rupaniya manas tipisha tantriyam urudam nibadhaha. They like to follow someone who's blind like them. They're willingly in the darkness. It's as, again the analogy of night or darkness. For a blind man, there's no difference between night and day in terms of his what he can see. They're willingly blind, and if someone leads them into deeper blind, deeper darkness, they take him as a leader. And in this way, they're bound very tightly in the ropes of material existence. Tantriyam. We have the word tantra. The idea of spinning. In Bengali, that's called tanti, the hand loom or any loom. And if we try to tell them what they should actually do, then, Matiya na Krishne paratasvatova mito bipadita grihavratanam adantago bhir vishatam tamisram punah punas charvita charvananam. They're seriously not interested, committedly not interested in Krishna consciousness. Matiya na Krishne. Either by someone else's good advice, or even if they're searching for the truth, they won't find Krishna because they don't want to find Krishna. They've decided from the beginning, no Krishna. They, again, the example, blindness, andhayata, I'm getting mixed up with the verse now. The Adanta Gobhya, Vishatang Tamisra. Yeah, they enter into the darkness, Tamisra, the darkness of ignorance, because they want to enjoy their senses, chewing the chewed, life after life. They don't want to control their senses. They are Adanta Go. Their uncontrolled senses, just the opposite to the Sangyami who's mentioned in this verse, one who controls the senses. they're not interested in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means taking shelter of Krishna, Sharanagati, the six processes, or six aspects of Sharanagati, taking shelter of Krishna. It's not just some vague word. If we say taking shelter, it could be a very broad concept, but it's specifically defined. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishatiti visvaso guptritvevaranam tata. Atma nikshepa karapanye shardavidha sharanagati. There's six aspects. The determination, the vow, to do only that which is favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness, and to reject that, anything which is unfavorable. Two, conceptualize or accept Krishna as my protector and my maintainer. To throw oneself at Krishna, to fully surrender, to be very, very eager to fully come under the shelter of Krishna, and to be very humble. So the non-devotees, they also have anukulyasya sankalpa. They've made a vow, as it were, to do whatever is favorable for their sense gratification and to reject anything which is not. As far as maintainer, protector, either they don't want to accept anyone as Ishvaro ham aham bhogi siddho ham balavan suki. I am supreme. Ishvaro ham, I am the enjoyer, I am perfect, I am powerful and happy. These are the demons. And those who are less demoniac, maybe because they didn't get the opportunity, as the saying goes, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So they may take shelter. They take shelter of their home, their family, my country, my life insurance policy. I am protected. Deha patyakalatra deshu atma sainyesha pasatsvapi teshang pramata nidhanam. Pashyanapina pashyati. They take shelter. My family, I go home to my wife and my children, everything's okay. Oh, just came in my mind. It didn't come for maybe 50 years or something. A song by the Beatles, who you might have heard of. When I get home to you, everything that you do or I do, must be everything that you do makes me feel all right. Yeah, must be everything that you do makes me feel all right. It's not very high standard poetry, but you get the point. It's pretty bland in terms of poetry, but there's a, when I get home to you, it's been a hard day's night, I've been working like a dog. But when I get home, it's amazing, I'm stuck in the moment. You hear it over and over again for about, I guess, a Beatles song, maybe about a month it would be going on. And somehow it's stuck in the... So that's it. People say, I'll go home, everything will be nice. That's during the first month or two of marriage, and then after that, it wears off pretty quick. So I've heard. So I've heard, but it seems to be a commonly accepted point. So they take shelter of wife, family, home, all these things. We can just imagine in a tsunami or a tornado, people are in their house and they're taking shelter in their house. All of a sudden, the windows blow in, or the whole place becomes flooded, or they're sitting in their house very safely and some invading army comes and just blasts the whole house to pieces, or just runs in and grabs your wife and daughters and slaughters you in front of them. And people, they take shelter of their house. But again, it's asat sainya, the soldiers who can't protect us. They're very good in practice and drill, and they're very brave when there's no enemy to fight.
Yes, we'll help you. Ah, ooh.
But when the enemy comes, then they become good candidates for the Olympic Games, not the boxing championship, the running championship, running in the opposite direction. Or the man is dying and the family is there. They can't help. They can't help him at all. Paschanapi na paschati. They're insane, the word is used. Insane. Because people see that everyone is dying. No one can protect me from death. But they don't take cognizance of it. Therefore, they're considered insane. They see, but they don't see. But the self-realized person sees. He begins to see this. I was saying yesterday how Buddha had the realization everything in this world is suffering. Well, it seems very obvious to us because by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we study Bhagavad Gita daily, in which this point is very clearly made by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Twice he says, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. This world is full of birth, death, old age and disease. Anityam asukam lokam. This world is temporary and full of suffering. Ashashvatam. It is dukhalayam ashashvatam. So Krishna makes the point again and again that this world is a place of suffering. Dukhalayam, a place of suffering. But he says, why janma mrityu jara vyadhi, the birth, death, old ages, disease, dukkha, this is all miserable. Dukkha, one should see the fault of this material. Anudarshanam. In other words, one should see, one can see with one's own eyes, but one doesn't see unless one's eyes are opened by others. One has to see by hearing the version of others without associating with sadhus. We may never understand that this world is miserable. And we become fascinated by the body, by everything physical. Thus we become impressed if someone has a very big, strong body. Become especially in the present age, there's so much emphasis on sex, beauty, good, yeah. And just when we go going toward the highway there, we can see on the right side, almost as we get there, there's what appears to be a sari shop. There are saris. Why is a sari shop in such a remote location? Well, there's a factory just opposite with all women working, right? So when they get their salary, that's what I guessed. They get their salary, that's the first stop. Because they want to be beautiful. The sari will help to make them beautiful. And then you go a little further and there's the barber shop, is it? And there's a picture of a man being kissed by a woman. And then you go a little bit out there, there's a picture of someone with big, big muscles. Is there a gym there, is it? Is that the barber shop also? Maybe. Get your hair cut here and you'll become like Samson. Samson lost his strength with his hair, if you happen to know the biblical story. So it's all body. Body, 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 body. And sex, that's all. And sports. Fascination with sports, as it's all business. There was not, here in India when I first came in 1976, there was fascination with cricket, but now all kinds of sports, they're promoting cricket and hockey. These are the Now they're promoting all kinds of sport. I remember seeing in the newspaper there was a report this much, three lines, that Argentina won the World Cup soccer. It was about that much. I didn't even know there was a World Cup soccer going on. How would you know in India at that time? But nowadays, that in the West, that would be front page news in all over the Western world, except North America. But they've made it like that. The people in India, people are no interest in all these things now. There's tennis and badminton and what else? So many sports, soccer and this one. There's so much advertising it. It's all on the bodily platform. Who can hit a ball harder and longer and catch it well and throw it well? Then health, yoga. People think yoga it means you get healthy. But really the meaning of yoga, they really misappropriated that term. Yoga, yoga indriya samyamya. The yoga means to control the senses. But they've made it that you become very healthy so you can enjoy your senses. They have they've made a different meaning. So for people who are not only on the bodily platform, they also have, they rate very highly people who are very intelligent. If you have a PhD, who's the greatest person of the 20th century? Albert Einstein, Time magazine voted. He had a big brain. Big brain, he may not have had a big brain in terms of size, but he was considered to be very intelligent. So such people are rated highly. The experts, what do the experts say about this? They'll call some topic, they'll have on TV a discussion between different experts about this, that, and the other, and so many subjects. So our fascination is on the mundane platform, and that's extended. Our nation, what's the best? The fastest runner, the one who can hit the more balls or get more runs, or who's the most beautiful, the best on the physical and mental platform, who can solve the mathematics, who can do very quickly, oh, very good. We say, and then they extend that. Our nation is the best because it's the biggest. It's biggest in size or biggest in military power. Or the biggest army. So, our guru is the best because he has most disciples. This is all on the mundane platform. Then, just seeing in a very, very gross way. Whereas the transcendentalist, he's interested in that which is beyond this material existence. Parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha. He's interested in the spiritual world, which is beyond this material existence. He wants to throw himself, at Krishna, so that Krishna will pick him up and take him to the spiritual world. Atmanikshepa, Karapanya. He's very, very humble. So, in this way, he's unlike the transcendentalist who, he thinks by his own effort, I shall become self-realized. Such persons may become self-realized, but only partially. By their own efforts, aruhya, kritrena, parang padang tat. They go right up to the spiritual world by their hard endeavor, but patanti adaha. Again, they fall down. Because anadrita yushmadangraya, they neglect to worship Krishna's lotus feet. So this verse, where we're reading Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam, that refers to transcendentalists as compared to materialists, but it can also be taken as devotees within the category of transcendentalists. It can be taken as devotees as compared to impersonalists. The impersonalists also go toward the light, but they don't want to surrender to Krishna. And so they think that worship of Krishna, that's okay, but that's on a lower platform. And when we become fully realized, then we'll merge into the light, into the Brahma Jyoti. That's their aim of life. So devotees and transcendentalists, they have, non-devotional transcendentalists have something in common, but something's not in common also. They both see that this material existence, the endeavor to be happy, even up to the last moment of life, people want to enjoy the body and they want to live a very long life, and they're very attached to the body, trying to keep it comfortable when it's just about dead anyway. This is insanity. They see that. Old age, and people know they're going to die, but still they don't make any preparation for the next life. This is insanity. So both classes of transcendentalists, they realize this, and therefore they do not endeavor for sense gratification. They're sanyami. They control the senses, or they take a very serious program to control the senses. Seeing the world and the way people are living in it, tesham pramata nidhanam, insane, it's crazy the way people are going. They are apaswartha parayana. They are attached to that which is against their self-interest. What could be more insane than this? But that is their position. Nate vidu swartha gating hi vishnam. And they don't want to take shelter of Krishna, even if they're informed. Matya na Krishna. They don't want to take shelter of Krishna. They become very sorry when they may become very sorry when they hear that, oh, there was an accident on the road and some people got killed, but they don't see that we'll also have to be killed. They may live to a ripe old age and die peacefully on your bed, surrounded by loving relatives, or you may be kidnapped and tortured to death by some nasty people. But anyway, you have to die. There's no shelter in this world. The only shelter is Krishna, who's within this world, but he's beyond this world. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nrsingha nartasya. The children think my parents are protecting me. The parents think that I'm protecting my children. And of course, the parents have to protect the children as best they can, but they should know that ultimately they cannot. Everything's in Krishna's hands. Nartasya chagadam udanvanti majjato. No, we might be on a boat in the middle of the ocean and very distressed with the storm arising, then we pray to God, send out an SOS, save our souls. They think the body is the soul, so they say, save our soul. You see, it's dehatma buddhi. He didn't say, save our body, save our soul.
Maybe they think, anyway, I'm going to hell, so save us. But anyway, they'll have to go to hell, even if they don't die at that particular time. If they're going to hell, they're going to go, unless they become Krishna conscious quick.
Taptasya tattrividhir na ihanja sheshtas.
You may think, oh, I'm going to get this medicine. The doctor will give the medicine. Yes, guaranteed cure. For sure. There's no guaranteed cure. That's not possible.
No one can get any shelter. Tavad vibhu tanubritang tvadupekshitanam.
As long as we are indifferent to Krishna, there's no real shelter. That doesn't mean that we don't build a house to protect us from the wind and rain and thieves. But we should know that the ultimate shelter is Krishna. And we should know that to not know that, or to not act on that, that is simply madness, because it perpetuates our existence, material existence, repeated birth and death. So seeing this can be the beginning of spiritual life. Not necessarily. There are people who see the world as mad, but still they're not inclined to spiritual life. They don't think there's anything beyond it. They think it's a madhouse. There was a book written maybe 50 years ago by an anthropologist, no, a zoologist, called The Human Zoo. But he actually analyzed that the cities, especially, you can, just like you analyze the behavior of the animals in a zoo, you can behave the humans. They're just like animals. You can predict how they'll behave in certain situations. He wrote a book before that, Desmond Morris, called The Human Ape. Because the zoologists, they analyze, well, monkeys do this, and camels do this, and these are their mating habits. So he did it for humans also, with the idea that anyway, we're just animals. So if you, or you may think it's crazy, but anyway, when we're dead, everything's finished. So some madman made this world, or there is no God. So not necessarily that they're seeing the world as mad, that'll give an impetus to be Krishna conscious. But without seeing this world as mad, and without being disgusted with the prospect of trying to enjoy it, then one cannot really enter into spiritual life. And the more we are actually advanced in spiritual life, the more we can see the world as mad, the way people are living. It makes no sense. Why are you doing this? Why are you working hard? For my family. Oh, okay, all right, but how long will your family support you? Well, up to the end of life. Maybe. What after that? Then we'll see. It's crazy. It's just like driving a car. You don't know where you're going. You're not even on any road, and you don't know what's ahead. But anyway, my family members are here, and we're all happy together. It's crazy. Who would do that? You're driving along, not looking where you're going. Oh, yeah, you can see ahead so far, but you did hear some warnings that there's a cliff up ahead, and you'll just go right over the edge of it. But anyway, we'll see when we come. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Therefore, we're distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, which give clear vision of reality distinguished from illusion. The Srimad Bhagavatam gives reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Srila Prabhupada's books, the first effect of reading them is that one has the prospect of becoming sane. There's no sanity otherwise.
He may be very intelligent. As Srila Prabhupada writes here, there are two classes of intelligent men, right in this purport. One is intelligent in material activities for sense gratification. How can you say they're insane? They make big buildings and big roads and big stadiums. And it requires a lot of intelligence, but it's the intelligence of a madman. It's developing things which are of no use to us, actually. Of course, we may need a building to live in, but we don't require the huge cities, very complex way of life, not required. People don't see what is their real self-interest, and therefore they develop civilization. Civilization, the more complex and sophisticated it is, it means the more advanced it is in insanity, in moving away from Krishna. They become very, yes, the Roman Empire, the British Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Carthaginian Empire, this empire, that empire. No one even heard of them nowadays. Maybe some people look in history books. It won't help us. The civilization, so-called civilization. We can be very civilized and sophisticated. It won't help. How many civilized, sophisticated Britishers came to this country and were ruling the country, thinking themselves very superior to the Indians, who they came here very kindly to civilize the people? Where are they all now? We don't know. They're dead for sure. The British Raj is dead, and whoever worked hard and valiantly and nobly and maybe got a statue of them built, they're all gone. The statue is there and the pigeons come and pass stool on it, on their head, and where is the person? Srila Prabhupada was in Paris and there's a statue of Napoleon. And Prabhupada quoted this saying, they say that Napoleon is France, France is Napoleon. And Prabhupada said, well, France is here, where is Napoleon? We don't know. Who knows? Maybe you could work it out by astrology, but for sure, he's somewhere tossing in the ocean of birth and death. Unless maybe he got one of Prabhupada's books, if he came back to the human form of life yet. You never know, it might be you. It might be me. I am Napoleon. Send him off to this madhouse. What's your name? Narendra Modi. Send him off to the madhouse. Unless he's actually Narendra Modi. There may be so many people imagining that they are, but they're mad. And we're all doing that. I'm imagining, just after I'm born, I get some name slapped on me. And then we're socialized to behave according to the group that we live in, or the family and the family values and the class and the culture and the caste in India. And a real good Polak. Is that a Polish word? Yeah, for Pole. It's used as a joking word in English. For Polish beer. A good Pole drinks lots of beer, right? Vodka. Vodka, okay. There are varieties in European culture. Drinks lots of vodka. And the sign of a really good Polak is they can drink half a liter of vodka and still sing the Polish national anthem. Clearly, I can imagine something like that. So you get culture, you get culturized. That, and if you're born in a Brahmin family of India in the past, then no alcohol, no way. We're above all that. Nowadays, I don't know. Still, maybe some. anyway, this is the culture that is very... And then we think, I'm a Pollock, I'm a Brahmin, I'm a... Whatever we get the particular kind of body and we get socialized into that. But we have nothing to do with it. People want to be seen as, I'm a good person, I'm a normal person. I pay my taxes and I work hard and I support my family. Good citizen. But this being a good citizen or being, not that we're telling people to be bad citizens, but just to think to be a good citizen, to be normal is very good. Normal people can't relate to Krishna consciousness because the socialization, whatever it may be, as a Palak, as a Brahmin, as a member of a voodoo cult, they probably have children also. I hope they don't eat them. Maybe they do. You get socialized into being like that, and then you want to feel I'm part of the group. But to take to Krishna consciousness means to see that everything in this world is completely meaningless unless we're related to Krishna. People can't understand, they can't, especially people, at least here in India, people may say, yeah, it's okay, you do a little bhakti, but not too much. But that one should fully dedicate oneself to Krishna. Still in India, some people are pious enough, they'll appreciate that, but not my son. Someone else, not my son, is going to fully dedicate himself to Krishna. Then there'll be protests. Not in every case. But, or they may say, then it's okay, you do if you like it. But between themselves, they say, what happened to him? Maybe he'll get over it. Anyway, let him go and chant Hare Krishna. He'll probably get over it after a few weeks, after some time. It's just strange to them. So Srila Prabhupada engaged his disciples in working hard for Krishna, intense devotional service, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, rising early in the morning. Especially in the Western countries, people think this is just crazy. They can't. I in the short time that I spent in this movement in the Western world, I can remember several times where one time in Sweden, we were up early chanting and some woman, what was it, a youth hostel or something, some woman, we were trying to be quiet, but she gets up and she's very angry. And what are you doing awake at 3 o'clock in the morning? She's just angry and shocked. Not just that we'd woken her up, but the very fact that, what are you doing? People don't do things like that. In Sweden especially, everyone's got to be very, very Swedish. Things have changed now with importing, massive import of non-Swedes. But one time in Belfast, after Mangalati, in the dark, chanting, and some soldiers, because soldiers used to patrol, and then a word beginning with F, are you doing? Shouting at me. they couldn't understand. And what are you doing? I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I said to them. What's that? This is something crazy. What are you doing? This crazy. What are you doing walking around at this time? In Dubai, long ago, walking out in the dark, early morning, chanting, and police stop. They could see I'm a Westerner. What passport do you hold? British. And that was it. And then drive off. If you're British, it's okay. You can do any damn thing you like. If I'd have been a Palestinian, they'd have probably arrested me. Who knows? Anyway, people, they can't relate. They literally think people should sleep. Why are you getting up these children so early in the morning? They should be asleep. A good normal person is asleep. They don't get up early in the morning. So devotees, they have to see very clearly that the whole trend of materialistic civilization is taking us away from Krishna. We should be afraid of this materialistic civilization. Srila Prabhupada, he once said that my disciples, they're not afraid enough of Maya. We should be afraid. Bhajahure mana Sri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charana Aravindare. We take shelter at the fearless lotus feet of Krishna. Why do we may say, well, we're not afraid because we're sheltered by Krishna, but that being non-afraid means we are afraid of Maya, but we're not afraid because we're at the feet of Krishna. So there is fear lurking in the background. If we say we're not afraid, that means there is something to be afraid of, and that being afraid of is Maya. And therefore, bhaja hurema, then we have to worship Krishna very intensely, to be fearless, to be protected, to be safe. Otherwise, if we're halfway, then we're in trouble. There's night and there's day, and there's the dawn and the dusk. So when we're waking up, we're coming out of some. We may just wake up very quickly, or we may wake up slowly, or we're coming out of the night, and then gradually we can see everything. Just like yesterday, we read that verse. What is it? Agyane navritam gyanam. And then the next verse is that. What's the next verse after that? Agyana. Gyanena tutaragyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham adityavajgyanam prakashayati tatparam. When we get knowledge of the Supreme, then we come out of the darkness, and it's just, then we can see clearly, just like when the sun rises, we can see everything clearly. But there may be a period in between also. Then the sun is rising and immediately we start to see. And then as the sun fully rises, we can see everything very clearly. But there may be an in-between period. And there's also dusk, which means that we're in the light and then we go slip into the darkness. That's very dangerous. So for devotees, we have to remain in the light. The sun is moving. We have to move with the sun. The sun means the light of spiritual knowledge. If we move with the sun, then we never see the light. We never see the darkness. Just like if you're in a plane, you can take off at 5 o'clock in the evening in a place where the sun sets at 6 o'clock in the evening. And if you fly west, you can fly 3 hours west and you'll still be in the light. How is that possible? Because you're moving with the sun. It means you have to move pretty quickly to keep up with the sun. But if we again allow the darkness to come in, then we're in danger of slipping into darkness. So we have to make a differentiation between what is light and what is dark, what is really for our self-interest and what isn't. For instance, due to circumstances, we may have to work in some job to earn some money. A devotee may be in that situation. But if they think that, oh, my job, it's I have to have a good career. Why? I have to dedicate myself, work hard and have a good career. And become fascinated by, yeah, I really enjoy my job. I really enjoy being a manager in this company and helping our company to make more profit and looking forward to a promotion. You hear this kind of talk when you're in Dubai, right? In the company. Your colleagues must have been talking like this. So if we get into that kind of consciousness, then we're not really in Krishna consciousness. We're somewhere in between, in the Trishanku position. We're neither up nor down. We're somewhere in between. Or if we think that, well, we should do lots of welfare work and feed lots of hungry children, and then people will like us, and we can collect money saying we're feeding hungry children. And it can be on the borderline. We give them prasadam and this and that. But it can be on the borderline if we're thinking or we're telling people we're helping hungry children, but we don't tell them we're helping them by giving prasadam. We just say food. We make sure we don't tell them that it's Krishna prasadam. So then we ourselves, we're in the danger, in the borderline. We ourselves may be, we may be confused as to what is pure devotional service and what isn't. If we mix with confused people, then we're likely to become confused. So therefore we have to hear this message of Gita and Bhagavatam and understand very clearly what is pure devotional service, what is not devotional service, what is mixed devotional service, what is devotional service in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, in the mode of goodness, what is devotional service beyond the modes of material nature. All this is detailed in Srila Prabhupada's books, and it's amazing that Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized so much on distributing these books. If we think about it, we're distributing these books to people, but how much are they likely to understand or even begin to relate to? But still Prabhupada had them distributed, because unless these books are distributed, how are people going to know? It may be difficult for them to understand. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. What does self-controlled mean? What is an introspective sage? The average person, when they read such terms, he never saw it anywhere else. Or he never heard of any such thing. Certainly in the schools, they're not going to teach you any such things. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires. For us, we can understand, but for the average person on the street, if you speak to them like this, they have no idea what you're talking about. If you say it in Tamil, or if you say it, they may know the language very well, Tamil language. But if you say these, they can't understand it. It's like putting words together that make no sense to them. It's just like you're going to have a sentence that makes very good sense. The children went to the school, and then, but if you put it, school the children to went, and it doesn't. It's all English words, but it doesn't make any sense. You could try and just vaguely understand it. So like that, it's people, they may not understand this, but still Srila Prabhupada had these books distributed so that people can begin to understand it. People, at least they can understand there's something very grave here. This is not something about what's the latest fashion. What's the latest political news? It's no such thing. They can understand this is something very deep, very grave, very substantial. And if they make the effort to read it, then Krishna from within the heart, Tesham, Satata Yuktanam, Bhajatam, Priti Purvakam, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam,
Yinamam upayanti te. Krishna gives the intelligence to those who worship him constantly with love to come to him. But how are you going to get the intelligence to even begin to come on that path? That's also Krishna's mercy. That one can begin to understand this. So let us distribute these books. And we can understand that whatever objections people may have, it's like a madman. When you come with these books, they should come running to you, fall at your feet, take all the books you have with great enthusiasm, worship you, give all their money. It doesn't happen. You have to try to convince them. It's like a psychiatrist. He doesn't just go to the person and say, "You're crazy." No, he has to try to relate with them as if they're normal. And then gradually speak to them in such a way that they can become cured. Very difficult job. So we can talk to people, try to cure them from their madness. It may be that even in preaching, sometimes the devotees speak to them in a way that just to get their attention, we may speak to them as if we're also mad. How are you doing? Where are you coming from? All this kind of thing. What the hell do we care where they're coming? They're coming from someplace in Maya and they're still in Maya. But you may say something like that to them just to get their attention and win their trust, and psychiatrists may do that. But giving the books is really the best way of preaching, because there's no such thing. It's only pure spiritual knowledge which people really need to come out of the darkness of ignorance. And we need also, so we don't revert back to the darkness of ignorance. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada. Any question, please? Can you understand Stoka Krishna? Can you follow? Ubadjo me balton, let's go, samajate. Didn't understand in Hindi either, it seems. It's completely bewildered. We hope they can understand. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kipa sindhubhyavacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.
Soliness Bhakti Vikas Maharaj ki jai.